We often hear about species of bandicoots, bilbies or quolls facing risk of extinction. But did you know there are populations of brush-tailed rock wallabies facing serious decline? Inhabiting rock piles and mountainous terrain, the nocturnal wallaby subspecies is still relatively common in southern Queensland. However, in other Australian states, their situation is dire. Now, conservation efforts are being done to protect the vulnerable marsupial from the numerous threats it faces. The Wire's Tony Pankaluch started asking Jessica Guedotti, project officer from the Wildlife Preservation Society of Queensland, on how bushtail rock wallabies are faring with their genetic diversity.
So these guys unfortunately have low genetic diversity due to their kind of habitat. So we're talking usually it's one male has an overlapping range with a couple of females, and that's kind of all there is in that little patch of rock. So there's not much gene flow between that rock and the next rock, especially since we've had things like pastoralism. So we're cutting down all of the trees between those rocky outcrops. So we're kind of limiting gene flow, and then things like fire and reduced abundance. So there's less of them, so they're not moving around as much. So that's kind of leading to a bit of a genetic bottleneck for these guys. The way they do breed all year round. They exhibit this really cool feature called embryonic diapause. And that means that if all of a sudden the conditions change, it gets too cold or too dry, there's not enough food, mum can actually pause the growth of that little fetus until it's good conditions again, and then that baby will grow. And so they're born very, very premature, like most of our animals with pouches in Australia.
Is it true they're extinct in certain parts of Australia?
So these guys used to be common down the southeast coast of Australia, which is a little bit sad now that we know that it is vulnerable nationally. We used to have them along the Great Dividing Range and down into parts of New South Wales, ACT and Victoria. And the Queensland population and the northern New South Wales population are probably the ones that are doing the best now. They still have fairly good numbers. However, further down into ACT and Victoria, they're looking really, really bad. There's about 145 sites that used to have rock wallabies at them that no longer do.
Do we know roughly what their population size is?
We use surveys with camera monitoring, and we can use presence or absence data with their poo, and they poo on the little rocks, so we can walk up to an area and say that looks like really good habitat, and we can have a look around, and if we start seeing some of their poo, we're like, I think there might be some living here. So the way we've set up looking at these animals, there's three different distinct populations. So we've got a southern population which has about 50 in captivity and only a few in the wild. We think there's about 20 wild individuals in that southern population. The central population is doing a little bit better. They've got about 800 to 900 individuals, and then our northern population, so northern New South Wales and Queensland, has about 10,000 to 20,000 individuals. And those populations, we've separated them out like that because they've been genetically isolated for long enough now that there's differences in their genes, so we know that they're not interbreeding. They're quite distinct little populations now.
What are some other efforts being done to protect the animal to try getting population numbers back up?
So one of the biggest issues with these guys is predation by non-native animals. So we've got our cats, our dogs and our foxes, and they're a big problem with that young at foot stage, so that when the little ones are getting a bit more independent of mum and dad, because the animals aren't a big species, those little ones are perfect lunch size for some of those introduced predators. So a big part of what the Wildlife Preservation Society of Queensland is doing is we're going out to these core areas within the Queensland population, and we're conducting some predator control on the foxes. So we're hoping to reduce the number of foxes in these sites during peak breeding time, when these little ones will be coming out of the pouch, to give them the best chance of recuperating up into that population to help bring the numbers back up. What we also do is we work with the private land holders as well as parks, because a lot of these ridgelines where the rock wallabies live is in national parks because it's not suitable habitat for farmland or other purposes, so it's been left as conservation areas, which is great for us and for these guys. We work on weed management. Lots of these places are really overrun with introduced weeds like our lantana. They affect these guys because it's a really vigorous grower, and after fire it comes back and it takes over their nighttime feeding areas, and so they don't have enough food there. We're also looking at doing some consultations with traditional owners, looking at traditional fire workshops, because fire is a really dangerous threat for these guys. Obviously the rocks where they live at during the day aren't going to burn down, but all of the area up into the rocks is where they eat, and it's super important for them for predator control. If there's been a fire through, things like that cats and dogs and foxes really, really, really do well because there's not much undergrowth, and that's where all of our little prey species live. So these guys don't have anywhere to hide from the predators. So we really need to help work with the local landowners and work with parks on planning out controlled burns so that we don't have catastrophic fires. We're also doing some habitat suitability mapping. So we were going out looking at aerial photographs and see whether we've got them there. And all of that data we're going to put through analysis to work out how connected they are and how well that they're going to spread. And so in the future, if we've got populations that are starting to recover and whether they will be able to spread out into these other habitats. And similarly, things like our reintroduction. So we do have a number of the species in captive bred populations so that if something were to happen to one of our wild populations, we could reintroduce individuals back into the wild.
That was Jessica Guedotti from the Wildlife Preservation Society of Queensland speaking to the Wise Tony Pankalush.